Good evening.
Log Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is December 5th, and my name is Bernice Seminole. I'm Northern Arapaho Yupik Eskimo from the Wind River Indian Reservation in Wyoming. Chinooka Gluhamani and guests speak out on Native American issues and issues that our people are faced with. So Chinooka Gluhamani co-hosts for Block Talk Radio, Shedding Light, every Friday and Saturday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, brings on guests from various Native American tribes around the country to talk about the Native culture and issues among tribes and their resistance to the oppression in the country. Here, Strongheart Dog Soldiers will introduce their life's work with a prayer and end in song, welcoming again co-host Chinooka Gluhamani and guests. Nobody is calling in yet, so I just kind of want to touch base with everybody out there in the audience that in the past we have talked about sexual abuse, we've talked about trauma, we've talked about missing and murdered Indigenous people. We've talked about racism and law enforcement. We've talked about a whole gamut of issues. Caller, could you please come on the line and identify yourself and tell us what tribe you're from and your name? 406, can you hear me?
Yes, that's probably me, Bernice. This
Hi.
Is Jenny calling in from the Northwest Montana, the Kani Tribe Reservation, which you were stating just now is very true of all the things that we kind of talk, and not only talking, but, you know, what the concerns and issues are that are really hurting our people today.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you feel about some of these issues and which topic in particular?
Well, I look at history, you know, I mean, even though we're all trying to do something somehow to make it in this world or life, you know, to continue and what, there's many of them that I go back always to me, it started with the school system, that abuse and everything, and how we were treated, you know, being the only Native kids in that school, and myself being picked on the playground. I was like a target for them to pick on me, and my brother Philip would always, you know, come to protect me, you know, to fight them, physically fight them from what they were doing to me. I'd be on a swing, and they would come behind, they'd pull me off by my hair. And times I'd be trying to go up the, climb the ladder to slide, and I'd be like halfway, and they would pull me off by my hair. So we would get in trouble being him, and because he, you know, would fight him, he would hit him and stuff, you know, beat him up. And it was us standing against that brick wall. We were in trouble for it. It was never them. It made me not even want to go to their school. I didn't want to be there because I didn't feel safe. I wanted to be at home where, you know, I felt safe, where I knew my mom was, you know. But what really, really basically showed how they really are is we were going home on the bus, you know, midwinter. We lived outside of Kalispell there. Racist up this bad way. But my mom and them moved over there for work, you know. And anyhow, we were going home on the bus, and the kids were all singing, all the white kids were singing. And I can't remember what song they were singing, but it was a Christmas song. And my brother stood up, you know, and he said, "No, that's not the way it goes." He said, "This is how it goes." And he started singing one of our songs. And man, that bus driver, he come to a stop at that bus, and he opened the door, and he told my brother that wasn't allowed on a bus. He had to get off the bus and walk. And he did. He left him midwinter on a country road, snow and everything. So as the bus is leaving like that, and I could see my brother at the window, and man, I couldn't wait till that bus got to the house where we were living at. I wanted so bad to tell my mom, you know. And it's like it took forever for that bus to get there, but once it got there, man, I ran inside and told her. And she was like, you know, more upset in a way because, you know, she didn't know what the hell happened then and why. And she's like, well, what the hell is going on now, you know? What, you know, I'm nothing, you know, and I told her what he did, and, you know, if she was about money and everything, if she had the right advice back then, I know she could have put a big lawsuit on them, you know?
Yeah.
But as a child, I didn't know any of that then, but now. So the only way, you know, she sent my brother back home, back across the mountains, you know, back to the reservation with my grandpa and grandma. And so we stayed out there. I can't remember how much longer before we end up leaving and going back to the res. So that abuse like that, that's where it started. That's where it made me question what their education was really about, you know. And, yeah, it's good in ways, you know. It gets you the job that you went to school for, but that's about it, you know. But then it didn't give, like, you something to help you to learn, to understand, so you can basically help your people like they would say back then. Go out there and learn as much as you can about them and come back and help your people. Now, today, kids, you know, we're going through high school, graduating, going through college, and then going out there, you know, out to the universities to learn more so they can come back and help their people. And it's not like that anymore. Yeah. A lot of those people went out there and did that before them, and they're sitting in those office jobs, you know, and they won't get out of them, you know. They've been there for years now. So I look at it now because my own nephew did that. He chased this, you know, white education, you know. He was thinking, you know, about living good and stuff and what. But when he came back home, he became homeless. He had no place to go. Nobody didn't, you know, really opened their door to him, and I kind of looked at him. I said, well, now you learned, huh? You learned because what you're doing, you're just repeating what was already done before you. So he had to basically find one of those little sheds, and like little tiny houses, you know, because he had nowhere else to start at, you know. He had to buy one of those and start sleeping and living in there, you know. So you think that, you know, they tell you, you know, education, you know, which I question at that time. I tell them enough of it because if it's that freaking, you know, sacred, holy, come on, tell me how many more pieces do you need, you know, to get you back to wherever you're talking about or what, you know. Other than that, you know, it's just a lot of things. Now we look at the missing murdered indigenous woman. So that's women like me and you and, you know.
And everybody
we
else
become the target, you know, of what, though, you know?
And we're a target just based on our skin color alone. That's the number one thing right there, our skin color alone.
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that we can basically talk, you know, about the issues of it and what, but that's why I always question, too, you know, they say we have these treaties, they say we have these rights, they say we, you know, all of this articles and all what, even up to the pipe in the eagle feather law, you know, the feather law, but how does everything come to play to help us so that it works? Because obviously they don't care, they don't listen to our people.
Yeah.
They all say they ran out, went across the ocean, went to sea, you know, visit with somebody or beat people, that's good to let them know that we're still here, you know. But why ain't they listening?
Chinupa, are you on air?
Yes, I'm on air. Yes.
Are you going to say anything?
Well, I'm sitting quiet listening to everybody, whoever else, you know, besides Jenny and yourself. And who else is tuned in? Because everyone I told, you know, get on the show, man. Everybody all have a virtue they say they want to talk about. Get on it. Don't leave us in the back where everybody's having a different major to what's going on with spirituality and the way of life being, you know, the way it is and all this stuff, you know. People all have something to contribute, but they don't want to step up. And it's always like me and my little brother Bryce and Jenny herself and a few others really expressing more of the intellectual communication about the current situation that affect us. So, and I apologize for coming on late because I've been contacting other people.
That's fine. So we've got additional callers, 307-240-313-402. One by one, could you slowly come on and state your name, tribal affiliation, and the state you're calling in from for the audience?
Sheo, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jabril Salam. I am a member of the Independence Allegheny Nation and a member of the Free and Independent Lakota and one of the dog soldiers for the Strong Heart Warrior Society. And I listen to a lot of what you guys are saying. And a lot of the Native people and Black people and a lot of people of color all over are going through a lot of crisis right now. And we're all fighting on different fronts and different issues. And my question is to everybody, as Indigenous people, how do we Natives get back what's where we need to be, what belongs to us? And in that question, I only found one answer in that quest. And that freedom is we have to go back to what belongs to us. And that's our independence. If you look in their constitution, which there was Confederacy before Constitution, says in the back of there, your right ought to be independent, free and independent state. So we were different nations, Chalagee, Lakota, Cree, Muscogee, thousands, all over Turtle Island. We welcome everybody who came, no matter who they were, no matter where they come from. We feed everybody. We take in everybody. It's our way. But they abuse us. And we try to partner. We try to do business. We try to have affiliation. We try assimilation. We try relocation. We try all these things. None of those things work for us. We can't spend the rest of our existence being somebody's dependent. When the Creator Almighty, He put us here and He gave us a language. He gave us a song. He gave us a prayer. He gave us the land. He gave us knowledge of all the things of nature, about ourselves and the things about around us. But we left that independence. So only way I see that we can solve all our issues, we have to unify and we have to be independent. Because if the people don't walk in the way of the Creator, which some call Red Road, some call Siratul Mustaqim, some call the Straight Path, if we can't walk that road, what do we really represent? And we have a lot of issues. But how do we get through these issues I found with success? That's my big question. And all you people out there listening, from my advice, my opinion, if you want to be free, you have to be independent, self-determined. And under international treaties, international law, that's your right. And the agreements that you made with these people here, these ain't even the people who we made the treaties and agreements with. These are some other foreigners. We have to, they say those treaties expire, and we still being their dependents. And these ain't even those people. We have to be independent. And that's my message to all of our Indigenous people across Turtle Island.
Thank you.
Go back to the old way.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I yield the floor back.
0544, can you introduce yourself, please? One 876, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Laleen from Nebraska.
Hi, Laleen. Is there anything you want to add?
Not right now. I want to just listen in a little bit.
Okay.
Sorry for calling in late. I'm driving right now, but I'll be here.
Awesome. So 5337, can you identify yourself?
Yeah, 5337, that's Jabril.
Oh, okay. And 9276, can you identify yourself?
Hello, everybody. My name is Jenny. I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I'm here as a friend to Chinupa, just to support and listen in and learn what I can.
Great to have you on, Sister Jeannie. I'm glad that you came on board tonight. Man, it's good. I'm glad you came. It'll be an interesting show. Yes.
And
all of you that are on the radio show tonight, say hello to Jeannie. Jeannie's been helping a lot of the elders and the children here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation with donations and whatnot, you know, for our people. And she, too, and her family are people of color. And we welcome to our radio show and as guests, and if they have something they can contribute, they're honored to do so. So that's Jeannie there, folks.
Hi, Jeannie.
Jeannie and her family.
Hi. How you doing? I agree with the caller about independence, and I think we need to unify if we're going to gain full independence. We need to support one another in order to get there.
Right on, right on. This is great.
This is very true.
Great.
And 4793, can you state your name, your tribal affiliation, and where you're calling in from, please?
Hello, this is Vanessa Seminole. I'm Northern Cheyenne, Northern Arapaho, and you pick Eskimo, enrolled with the Northern Arapaho tribe. And it is my first time on air listening to everybody. And I'm Bernice Seminole's daughter.
Well, thank you for coming on evening. I really appreciate all the audiences that come in. If you don't mind, little sister Bernice, I wanted to do something real quick and acknowledge something that Brother Jabril was talking about.
Okay.
The diplomatic immunity that this government uses is the dialogue. And one of the things that is very difficult, and he is right, on one technicality, when you think about freedom, you have independence. When you have independence, you're free to do everything necessary to survive connected to the earth that you're part of, with all the animal creations, the great mystery, Mother Earth, and everything that is dear for us. So in lateral thinking, Brother Jabril had made one of the strongest understandings about the inhabitants that is original to our country. And one of the things I'm going to remind the Salagi Nation that at one time they had that, but because of how modern discrepancies became more of a prevalent issue, and I mean a prevalent issue, we forgot to think about the independence that freed us from everything that was dear to us, with nature included. And the reason why I use that diplomatic immunity, we have always been an aboriginal supreme being to ourselves, the earth mother, the four-legged, the winged creatures, and most of all, the great mystery. That's how language became very strongly in messages when we communicated, like the wampum bells and so forth. That's how we identified one another. our brothers and sisters out in the East Coast, which are no more. That's a sad but true understanding. Some are coming back to really look at the necessary measures that would inhabit them to pick back the independence and stand on that of freedom. See, I said this a while back and many times on the shows, and I said this to Jenny. In today's dealing with everything in reality, people today, they got a roof over their head, they got a place to lay down in that roof, and there's everything that comes with those squared inhabitants of that roof. Needless to say, house, home, etc. But under a teepee from ancient times, the way the poles were set up from the animal hides, that was a part of the independent structure of our people, how they lived with when they traveled north, east, south, and west to follow the migrations of the animal herds that sustained them. And so in basic understandings about the independent nation state status, we have to get back into them by implementing one simple technicality of this virtue of life. And this is sad but true. When you look at our African brothers and sisters that were forced over here in our country, they helped pave this country for America to have what they call a heaven on earth. Sad but true. And because of those multiple sacrifices that our African brothers and sisters, you know, encountered, they lost their names, they lost their identity, and most of all, the culture that they had been stripped from, landed over here, and some, and I mean there is a tidy sum of them, still trying to regain those principles of that status of what they had when they were across the water before they were brought here. Now, to make the slate more clearer, when you take a people, and I'm only using this as a term of explanation, when you bastardize people of color, white man, you forget that these are the people that also taught you the basic necessities to live off the land and create a fortitude to sustain you. And in return, all of the people of color, including our black brothers and sisters, have never asked you for anything, because then in the times of ancient, you know, landings from 1492, you had nothing that we wanted. Same with our black folks. They didn't ask you for anything because they knew exactly how we indigenous people felt. You had nothing. And so why would we make that attempt to try to ask you for something that you never had in the first place? So now the ruins that are happening today in 2020, in the month of December, you will see that the American people have never, ever gave an apology to what remaining indigenous people and people of color that are on the occupied territories of Turtle Island. And I'm talking to you, white man. It frustrates me that we have to bring these understandings to light to express our own intellectual feelings on how you took everything from us and tried to replace it with your way of life. It's sad that we picked up your English vocabulary, and it's a harmful entity for you to listen to people of color. We know you hate us. You wish that you could have killed every one of us. And most of all, we never gave you a surrender. Everything was stolen because of the thievery and barbaric behavior that you people have brought to our country. And it's still here. And since you quantified your characteristic as a being in a country that doesn't belong to you, every time when you see the American flag, folks, that represents that they are still under occupation. Because in the Western Hemisphere, out here, the Lakota, the Cheyenne, the Arapaho, the Blackfeet, the Crow, the Shoshone, Nez Perce, the Blood, the Flatheads, the Apache, the Navajo. All of these Western tribes are still within the territories that they never gave to you, Mr. White Man. And until you meet the forgiveness within yourself, then and only then can we, as a people still struggling to remain free, give you a true meaning of what you'd done to ours a month ago called Thanksgiving. We never had that in our cultural way of life. That was all brought here, and that was a symbolic way to destroy my people out in the East Coast, which are no more. And so some that do have a quantified amount of that blood are struggling to regain what they all been trying to tell you. We've tried your way of life, Mr. White Man, everything, even using your language, and we're still not good enough for you. The only way we could ever be good enough for you is when you surrender and humble yourself, not only to your great mystery, but yourself as that individual piece of what America has symbolically stole and implemented amongst people of color. And the reason why I stress that and say that wholeheartedly is because don't ever forget this, white man, that you too were captives in your own country. That's what they brought here when Christopher Columbus set out to sail the ocean blue and look for the seven seas. Now, had this been India, then you would have that same implementation of what the Brits did to India. Don't forget, it was in the late 1930s that the Indonesian people of India became free. Don't ever forget that history. And that's how Britain did the same thing as these Americanized people that claim a name by finesse Bruce, by giving them something that they could never, ever live with honesty in. And so much blood was spilt, lives taken. Even the innocent babies that were growing into life. You took them from us, white man. And to this day in 2020, you're still repeating that history. And so adding to that flavor of what my little brother Jabril has sustained himself to bring back and say to the listening audience, it is time for everybody to take back what is theirs in a traditional fashion of what blood is still remaining in them. And it can be done, folks. And the answer is outside. The little brother, the air, surrounds Grandmother the Earth and the great mystery above. That little brother has always blew his breath upon our face, whether it came from the east, the south, the west, and the north, top and bottom. It always has breathed us that way with the natural substance of the way nature does everything. And without that little brother, in Lakota we called him Tate, which was the breath of life. And to this godforsaken day in 2020, the white man is even still trying to control that little brother of ours. It'll never can happen. That white man can never do that. That's why he makes artificial air, which you have from air conditioners and many other things, fans. But what I'm saying is, when you had independence from the time immemorial when the great mystery gave you this, he didn't tell you to create what Americans called a heaven on earth. Remember, there was a song created by a young kid that made that song famous. I can't remember her name, but it'll come to my mind. But that's what she made that song about for the American people, that America was, you know, a thing called heaven. Heaven was a thing called earth. And that's what these people still bastardize that. Where tomorrow is going to be their day of so-called worshiping a god and a kid that we never knew about. that way of life has been forced and abused upon many people. And a lot of them are still traumatized by that, even in today's year of 2020 in December. But when you look back to what Christianity and what white America has done, when, and I will ask the listening audience, when did the white man ever come to you wholeheartedly and say, indigenous man or woman, we are terribly sorry, we want to leave? If that day comes, and I know it's gonna, I'll be an old man to see it, I'll be the joyous Lakota man to let off so many war cries from my heart that whatever they forced upon us to try to sustain that inhabitant of living, all I got to say to them is, hey, goodbye. That's all I can say. I turn it back to all of you. I answered my little brother's question as best as I could, because independence is your freedom. And without freedom, you know, there is no independence. The great mystery is still independent. So is Mother Earth, the four-legged winged creatures. Look at them. They're still here with us. And let us acknowledge this, folks. The four-legged and the winged creatures has not asked us for anything. They didn't ask us to do anything. We're supposed to know that by protecting and serving them. Because this, on all cards on the table, that's just a figure of speech. When you look at Turtle Island, remember, the turtle himself or her has four legs, just like the winged creatures and the four-legged creatures. They all have that symbolic understanding because they still, to this godforsaken day in 2020, still know how to love their people that still believe in them. And I'm talking about what remaining tribes and our African brothers and sisters that still have a four-legged or a winged creature in their home. Back to you, sister.
Oh, thank you. So I have a young lady named Vanessa, and she would like to come on and say something about holidays. So Vanessa, are you there? Can you come on, please?
Yes.
So can you talk about the topic that you're interested in?
Yes, I'm a little nervous. What had drawn my attention was independence.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about all the holidays in the Americas are symbolic.
Yeah.
Of, you know, when our lands and culture were forever taken over. When our country was taken from us, from our ancestors, and it still continues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stripping away our natural resources and our rights for just, you know, for our cultural rights. You know, for example, I need to calm down a little bit. For example, 4th of July, you know, it's supposed to represent, you know, America's being independent when it represents, you know, not liberty or justice. We are still living in the hostile white Americas today.
That's a good analysis. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I was just thinking about that, and you know, there's a lot of things that people really don't like look into, like what's going on today, what was still going on, you know, when we were, you know, helping everybody. It was pointed out, you know, it's in our culture to help everybody. And, you know, we're just getting, like, honest. Like, I really don't know how to put it, but, you know, it's just, like, we just don't matter.
you know, were just put reservations and then we were just like forgotten about, you know.
So what you're saying is, actually what I'm hearing out of your opinion here and what you're talking about is from the inception of the 4th of July, there's no liberty, there's really no justice, especially for people of color and the indigenous people of this land in particular. That's what I'm hearing you say. And I couldn't agree more with that statement that you just talked about, because all of these holidays are based on either independence or they're based on Christianity and their values. And personally, I don't celebrate holidays because those are not my holidays. I don't have to, like on Mother's Day and Father's Day, for instance, Valentine's Day, I don't need to celebrate that because those aren't my holidays. I respect and honor my mother and father. You know, I respect everybody that's close to me from the heart. So I don't need to celebrate a holiday when I live that every single day of my life. And so what you're saying is racism in this country is not only about stripping the minerals, it's not about doing the water, polluting the water, not trying to clean it up. But it's also racism through holidays as well, because those don't belong to us and they never will. And our people are so assimilated in a way where they have to celebrate. They think they have to celebrate because that's what everybody else does. But if everybody, all of the indigenous people across this land took a step back and they looked at all of the racism that comes along with it and know that those don't belong to us and go back to our original instructions, we'd be a real powerful people. I mean, that's just my opinion. Is there anything anybody else would like to add to that, what she said?
Yes, I would like to ask this, though. I want to know what state Vanessa's from. That's her name, right?
Yes.
What state is she calling in from?
Montana.
Montana. Okay. Vanessa, who's your family up there?
Clarence Seminole Sr. and Bernice Seminole.
Bernice, you know this little girl?
Yeah, that's my daughter.
Right on. The reason why I wanted to ask that question, because one thing that really struck me when she said, you know, the involvement of this. Look, here's a good explanation to really put an open heart to your understanding of what we're all involved in today. Christianity has always been a failure in every culture's way of living, because it does not belong there. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Halloween, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of these things were interpreted to take a value away from ours, and I mean ours as indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that, okay, let's really be really serious in our modes of thinking. You think that our great mystery that we pray to, Mahewa, in Cheyenne, Wakatakakichimanetu, and Nagadawi in Mashika. Those three important names represent our great mystery. And in the white man's terminology, God. God is the acronym reversed, okay? And it's true. The reason for that, everything that was created by white people takes you away from what is freely yours. Freely yours. And that's the independent value of how freedom works. The great mystery didn't put sanctions or restrictions, prayer and giving. You shouldn't have to wait for the Easter Bunny to come by and create a basket and put grass in it with eggs and sweetness for children. You shouldn't mm-hmm. have to have little masks put on our children to go knock on the door and say trick or treat. Then a child has to be good to receive a birthday gift. And then that repeats the same cycle when Christmas comes along. You see, America has did this ideology to take freedom away from the people that's still struggling to maintain it. Why do I say it? Freedom was gifted by women. Why do I know this so well? My mother, my late mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandma Bessie, Bessie Runsabove, my Grandpa Roy's mother, told me these things when I was a child. But I was so eager to listen to my elders and my mother that the freedoms that were born with women, they still master and govern freedom to this day in the year 2020. All you women are struggling to get back to that principle basis to tell your men, your boys, what to do. Mom did it. Grandma did it. Great-grandma did it. Aunties did it. And to this day, my children still do it. They asked their dad, what can I do? You see, that's the whole cycle of the independence value of how freedom works. Freedom is everything. Freedom's a tree. Freedom's a rock. Freedom's the earth. Freedom is you as the two-legged. But because white man put these restrictions and dampers upon us, we got away from thinking freely and independent within ourselves. Sad but true. And the hard part is, today when we talk in 2020, we're forgetting one of the greatest principles that is still here on this earth. And again, I said it earlier when Mr. Your little brother Jibril, I don't mean to call him Mr. When little brother Jibril mentioned this understanding of what him and his nation were doing, it was these four-legged that never, ever asked us for anything other than to live with them freely. There's the ancient story, and one day, as these shows continue on, I will tell you that story. This was taught to me by my grandfather, who passed away, my grandfather Chanteo Hitikawichasa, better known as Roy Stanislaus Martin, in the English capacity. But in Lakota, his real name was Chanteo Hitikawichasa, brave-hearted man. And before he adapted that English name, he was taught the origin of how independence was, and that's how I became independent, because I wasn't born in a hospital. I was born in the flatbed pickup truck of my grandfather. My grandfather delivered me and placed me on my mom's stomach. I was born in the back of his truck while my grandmother Cecilia was driving to the hospital. But I guess I wanted to come out early. So that's why independence works for me. And that's how, you know, my grandpa, my mom, and my grandma always told me, you weren't born in a hospital. You were born outside. So I get it. I get exactly what that independent structure of freedom is. And so little Vanessa expresses that understanding. Take a look at it this way, listening audience. All of these holidays were created by white men. Not white women, white men. And that's the sad part that our people have to relinquish. And once you do that, then you'll see exactly how the interpretation of freedom and independence works. And you still have it, women. Don't forget that. That's why some men like myself cry out to you guys to tell us what to do. Man, that's the mechanism I've seen all my life. And I'm 63. In a few months, I'll be 64. And I'm getting up there. But these knowledges that was given to me came from you women and my elder grandfather. And with that, I hope I answered some of that to its best of the ability for little Vanessa. And thank you, Vanessa, for coming on. If you can get more of your youth involved in our radio show, we would love it. We would love it.
Yes, definitely. So is there any more that you would like to add to that, Vanessa?
No.
Okay. So, Chinupa, is there anybody else online that would like to say something that regards this topic?
If anybody's listening out there, come on, step up. Step up, because you all love to talk. Because when we're singularly on the phone, we talk. And, man, you rapidly throw all your information out. Well, now's a good time because listening audience want to know. Like they say in white phonics, inquiring minds want to know. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I have a question. And this is something that popped in my mind while you and Vanessa were talking. You were answering her. You talk about matrilineal societies in Native cultures. Okay, so matrilineal societies in our cultures and paternalistic cultures in the dominant society, there is no balance in the white culture for that, like there is with ours. So could you kind of like tell the listening audience the dominant culture and how men are, they dominate their women, they dominate their home, they dominate everything. They even try to dominate the environment, animals, everything else. So there's no balance. So could you kind of elaborate a little bit more on the difference in the cultures and their systems?
Yes, I'm glad you kind of brought that to some attention here. You know, first of all, always remember that white people, white men, and mm-hmm. white women now, they violated their own principle circumstance of life. There is no love within them. Love to them is having sex. And when they get done, they go to sleep. But they never embrace it where they hug each other and caress each other and give that feeling to continue on with it. And then when lovemaking comes, another thing for the future, they carry it on. Nah, they have to go and buy it after they get done. Because what they did with their counterpart, that value is what patriarchal societies have done. Remember, at one time, the white race had dresses on at one time. Now they're all gone. They all wear pants. Well, with matriarchal society, I can answer this so truthfully, and it'll blow people's minds, okay? When you put that pants on at the discretion of the patrilineal behavior, you know how patriarchy does it, you violate your own physical being as that woman of indigenous or any other color descent. Why do I say it that way? Because go outside and look at a tree. Look at the earth mother you walk upon. And look at the four-legged and the winged creatures. All the females still have their dresses on, and they never replaced it with a pair of pants. So the dominant culture, even them, they were in gowns across the water. They were. But they forgot that because they adapted a culture that did not have a value for the body itself. And that was, man, the people of Mesopotamia, not the Greeks and not the Romans, because the Romans and the Greeks, they had skirts on, just like the Scottish people. But Mesopotamian people were the only ones with pants. Pants. That's sad but true. And they were the ones that violated their women. And that's how the domination of this culture began. And so when they were captive in ancient societies back, you know, we were all weren't even born back then. They used that same tactic and technique to invade different countries. And many other countries rebelled and resisted. That's why the dress is a powerful undergarment that protects a woman's value. The value is her life, her body. And this is what indigenous people still have. And all you have to do is what I just said here. Take a look at the tree, the female tree, because if you look at the tree, she's got her arms pointed up to the heavens. She's still offering herself to the great mystery at the discretion of her mother, which is Mother Earth that gave her life. Look at the tree. Her arms are pointed up to the sky. You see, this is how the balance of matriarchal societies live, according to our way and our calendars that were written on hide. And so aside from all this patrilineal stuff, today in modern society in 2020, women are restricted to even say anything. A woman today, as long as she got an undergarment underneath that pants, where it traps the energy flow. Because at one time, when they had their dress, that energy flow blended back into Grandmother Earth, which purified themselves. And so they were never angry, like the indigenous people and many others of color still living by that ritual. Our brothers in the Asian culture, Indonesian culture, our African brothers and sisters in their culture, and we indigenous people and many others of those cultures' identities, still, they're female, still wear a dress because they are in purity with themselves and they're pure with the universe they're part of. This is what history and modern education will not teach you. It violates the basic understanding of why women govern men. Sad but true. And to this day in 2020, we are losing that because our women are not telling the men what to do. That's the most beautiful thing when a woman tells you to go do something. It's not to say, husband, boyfriend, friend, brother, son, go break that white guy's nose. No. It's utilizing the most honorable understandings of love of that life she gave you to protect and serve her. And when you look at the animal nations, ladies and gentlemen that are listening on tonight's show again, the animals are the only ones still serving themselves as a free people. And that's the way the two-legged used to do it before the coming of the white man, the hairy man of the East. Don't ever forget that everything that the white man has written is a lie. It's according to his story. That's why they call it history. History is about the white man's story. That's why it's called. Take the words apart. They're all acronyms. It's called his story. There's no such thing as history. Those are all implemented words that pollute the brain so the brain can't think free anymore. Now imagine our ancestors writing our culture in pictograph on walls and animal hides. That's how knowledge and customs and the value of life was preserved. We don't know what our great mystery looks like, but for some, you know, unearthly, you know, experience of what white man does, they put a kid up there, nail him on a board, thorns on his head, stab him in the rib with a spear, make artificial blood. And you think about Christ, okay? I don't know him. And I hope the rest of the audience don't know him either. Because if you fall into that mechanism of what, you know, imperialism will, you'll become just like them. And the only day you will give thanks and worship is on Sunday. Through those Ten Commandments that's been written in his holy book, those books have been written after year after year after year. But the original tabloids were written across the water in the country of Germany. And that was the only language that they could find that they could implement it in paper. Sad but true. But the rest of the race don't want to see that interpretation. But I will say this to add on to what Vanessa was questioning about how these holidays and all these interact with people. We interact with those things because we allow it. There's no such thing as a holiday. Those are the words created by the white man. And we keep using his philosophical standards to implement that we know something. Even this language that I'm using to talk, I don't know everything about his language, but I know it's a hateful language. It makes you mad. It makes you want to kill. It makes you do things that are unbelievable. They're heinous. And this language does make you mad, no matter how you do it and how you feel it. But there's no purity to it. The only thing that I figured out about the white race is behavior. Like they say, all the indigenous people and people of color must die. Okay? They say that. But yet, during when they assassinated our brother, George Floyd, a few months back. Don't forget that, listening audience. They assassinated George because they wanted to show their dominant strength, that they could still kill people of color.
Yep,
and they
right.
did it under the law enforcement. Don't ever forget that. And when George cried for his mom, I'll still never forgive the white man for making another human being cry for his mother. Man, white man, your day of reckoning is coming. And I hope you're still living in fear, because your reckoning is here. Why do I say that? I say that because of one thing. We, as people of color, and you all know this, and if you don't know it, you know it now. We have always left the white man alone. Right or wrong, folks? That's right.
Yep, that's right.
See? And that's the problem. Our people keep bringing him into Sundances, sacred ceremonies, gatherings. And what does that white man do? He brings his value of life in. Drugs, alcohol, more drugs, more drugs. That's how he weakens the heart to never have strength over the brain. So brains today, in 2020, in this new millennium, cannot reconnect with the heart because it's drunk or it's high. And this is why the white race continues to serve that purpose of trying to enforce marijuana and certain, you know, establishments of that chronic, you know, drug disorder. Look at it. Every state's trying to, marijuana. Marijuana was given to us from Grandmother Earth. No, it wasn't. It never grew in this country. Turtle Island never had marijuana. They brought that over here. Everything they brought over here created was by the white man. All of that was created by him. He brought that. And so as time went on in the history of the white race, they become a dominant culture that continues to destroy everybody by not connecting to themselves as who they are. They're like Pavlov's dogs in the education system. They're all marching to a bell or a whistle that sounds off. And that's true, folks. Even your schools are that way to this day. Children, look at them. And once they hear the bell for recess, they all line up and take off. Single file. That's inhuman, folks. We have to blame that white man. We have to blame him for all of these atrocities that's destroying us within and without. And only the great mystery that we worship and serve can stand with us to defeat him. You don't need a gun. You don't need a bow and arrow. You don't need a tomahawk. He's got all them. And so when people of color learn to master them things, wait a minute, he's got a bow still. He's got one of our guns. Okay, and then that white man learns how, let me back up now. Let me back up here. Wait, he's got one of our weapons. Well, in the first place, you wanted us to adapt your culture, so we took what we thought was good. And that's the white man's fire stick. And once we captured it, now you want to come to us now. Say, hey, let's talk. No, we don't want to talk to you. What we're saying is leave us alone. We gave you an opportunity when you were released from prison. We were the only ones that accepted your parole statement, white man. We gave it to you, and this is what you've done to us. I would like to see the white race go back to his own country and try that. His own country's waiting for him, and they're white too, folks. And with all this said, patrilineal behavior neutralizes you women because you're still angry at your man, you argue with him, and most of all, you forgot how to love him the way he's trying to love you and listen to you. Because the two of you together made life. Whether you're your grandchildren, your children, that's the circle that was created for matriarchal people at our discretion of women who are purified naturally. Back to you, little sister.
Okay, so thank you for all of that information. And that's real interesting. And it couldn't have been farther from the truth. So for the listening audience that are non-Indian, like the psychologists and the therapists and the counselors, they believe that our culture is backwards because the women, our societies are matrilineal. So could you kind of like expound a little bit on that, Chinupa?
Well, the way to do that would be asking some of the women to answer it, whether it's Jenny whether it's Sister Jeannie, yourself included, little sister, or even Vanessa. Why?
Yeah.
Why would I interpret that way? Because I want you all to connect with something that you still are connected to. And that's the grandmother you walk upon, the earthly grandmother. And once you can amplify on that, you will hear the existing factor from all of yourself. You will. Try it. And I'm going to remain silent. And if it gets really heavy, I'll step in. I'll help out the best I can from what mom, grandmother taught me and my great-grandma, Bessie. So go right ahead. Jenny, Vanessa, Jeannie, yourself, Bernice, go right ahead.
Ladies, you want to jump in and add to that conversation?
Go ahead. It's up to you guys.
Jenny?
Well, I want to give somebody else a chance to go ahead and speak.
Jeannie?
Okay, Bernice.
Yeah, this is Jeannie from D.C. I think a lot of it has to do with our connection with our cycle. I mean, for those of us who still have them, I'm going through losing mine. But I know that when you have to deal with something internally and, you know, our cycles are connected to the moon, when you have that worldly connection, that outer worldly connection with that is going through you personally, through your own body, that gives you a type of wisdom that men are not privy to. A connection to water, and the earth itself. I think we just have a deeper feeling. I know there's a lot of stories in many indigenous, not just to North America, Turtle Island, but a lot of indigenous cultures where they talk about the formation of the earth and then that there are male forces that come together. I know a particular one that I'm thinking of are from the Yoruba people, where they have these deities that come together to create the earth. And forgive me if I get the names wrong, but the main female deity, I believe, they call them Orishas, and the main female one is Oshun. And the story is that there were other, like maybe four or five men, and Oshun was the only female at the time that created the earth. And the men went about building what they were each tasked with, and Oshun was about the honey and the waters, the all the sweetness of the world and all the love. And the men thought, well, we don't really need Oshun, and they sent her away. And when she went away, she took all of that with her, all the fertility of the earth, the springtime, all of that. And when they realized, they looked around, they couldn't create anything, and they went to what you call the great mystery, they call Olodumare, and they said, well, nothing is working out here on earth. And someone's missing here. And it was, you know, where's Oshun? And the gist of it is that because she was not present with the sweetness, with the empathy, with the love, with the compassion, that nothing else could flourish. So I agree with Chinupa. I agree with the idea that because we are in a patriarchy and because women are pushed aside, nothing can flourish. But I believe that that's changing. We see that a lot, that women are being recognized more and more. And hope that continues. Another thing I wanted to say, when you mentioned Chinupa, the East Coast, the indigenous people of the East Coast, there is a comeback. The Lenape are returning to New York, and the Wampanoag and the Shinnecock are returning up to the what they call New England, that area, the Hamptons. They're fighting for their land. So the people are reclaiming their land up here on the East Coast. And that's really all I have to say on it.
That is beautiful, Sister Xenia. Thank you for that. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Sorry, a little bit nervous, but thank you all.
Thank you for sharing all of that. Jenny, is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, like I've always tried to kind of share our own understanding of this way, too. We have to keep our understandings of our creation stories and what that are in our areas, our sacred areas. All that, we're still trying to protect that. She's saying, well, those tribes are, you know, getting their land back here and there. Well, up here, we're looking at still trying to stop them from taking our land up here because of all these minerals and what. Huh? As far as woman wisdom, that, you know, that is basically comes from your grandmothers, your great grandmothers and what. It's, we're born with it. So there's women out there that have this knowledge and wisdom and what, but, you know, they're never really heard. Like myself, I could, you know, find somebody that thinks and feels and understands like myself, me, and I feel connected to them, you know, because, and it's hard to let them go because how you were talking about these, what was you talking about, these psychologists and all these people, these higher upper white educated people, mm-hmm. how if we talk like this, you know, amongst each other, they'll look at us like we're crazy or something. They want to put us in a crazy place because we don't understand them. So that right there, my stuff, I use the Native American rights, you know, if I go into a public office and I look for that on the wall, and if they don't have one, I ask them, where is it? Because we're going into these public places and asking for, you know, help and why, and they can't deny it. With that, they cannot deny it. And the reason why I say that, because when I was out in Oregon, living out in Oregon, I was asked by my brother that was going to be pierced that year, and this was in 2013. He asked me if I could come home and support him because he had nobody else, you know, in my family to support him at the Sundance. So me knowing how we were raised that, you know, to respect the Sundance, you know, understand what it is, what the ceremony really is, and what it is. So you have to be raised around it to really understand teaching. So I basically told him, yes, I would. So I started traveling for 3 months back and forth from Oregon. And so within those 3 months, I used their EBT card. Okay. So I fed me and my kids on my travel back and forth for 3 months or so, trying to help him get ready for the Sundance and be pierced. So after everything, I go back home and I don't get no assistance. I follow the monks and wondering why. So I go and question them, why is it that I got my assistance cut off or what? And they told me that, oh, well, they determined that I moved to Montana. And so I said, oh, really? When did I do that? Why would I leave everything, you know, and move to Montana? I said, I have the right to, you know, feed myself and my family. I said, you know, because they told me that because I used my card 3 times that, you know, that I didn't understand that, I told them, because why could they determine that by the machine? Because they blamed it on the machine, you know, prints out these letters and what. So I questioned everything, and I grabbed the application, and there was nowhere in there that I cannot use their card in the state of Montana, which I asked to talk to a supervisor. And I explained to her what I was doing when I was traveling back and forth to Montana. That's where I'm from. And there are neat times when I'm going to be traveling. All of our people, if they really are people that do attend to the ceremonies, they're going to be traveling during these times during the year. You guys don't have the right to, you know, basically deny me my, you know, service that shows everything. I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. So I took that and I called the Capitol because I knew they had a Native American advocate. So I explained to him what the whole problem was. And I told him I already sent in my form for discrimination. So he got it and everything, and he called me. And everything that was on there, he said, I agree with you. No, I'm not even going to, you know, argue or anything, go further into it. So they basically sided with me. And this lady from the Capitol there called me and wanted to know what can I do to help them to make a policy that would never happen to, you know, our people, you know, like ourselves that travel like that. And I told her I cannot help them make that policy. But they need to do something to make that change because they have no policy over our spirits when we go to our ceremonies. I told her it'd be no different than saying that Jesus was going to be in China and you can't go because you're not Chinese, you know. So you don't have that. You can't put a policy on it. So now, today, they have their application in there that asks if you're Native American, you know, what if you're going to be traveling during these months, you know, to do your ceremony. So that changed for people then. Mm-hmm. So with all of that, that's why I ask, you know, what have people, even though or women say, you know, they can get out there and protest and do all of this, but what they have they did to make a change for, you know, our people? That actually does have it, you know, that they basically went on who we are and how they cannot stop us from being who we are. But you know, other than that, where the ceremonies and who the women are and what Chinupa talks about, how a woman needs to go back into their dresses or skirts or what, yeah, that needs to happen because you look at a lot of the younger generation too, they look how they dress. Mm-hmm. It's not even, you know, a lot of the elderly women, they just don't know how to really tell them because now they use, you know, the younger generation will talk against grandmas and what. Today they have in their mind, well, it's their life and what, you know. So it's hard for the grandmas to even tell the younger generation, you know, to try to not even wear a lot of makeup how they dress today, but everybody says, well, everybody has their rights, you know, to do whatever they want to. But you know, so how do we fix that as women? How do we come together to help them to understand what we're talking about? The women that are actually in dresses today, skirts and what, and they have this knowledge and to really sit down with, you know, other women and help them to understand what our story is. Like each one of us women have a story if from our areas about our creation stories or whatever it is that's there. Hmm? A lot of women, they don't have it because it's not there no more. It's not there. And the states up here, what he also talks about, the 5 states, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Nebraska, and we talked about these states, how they're trying to settle the West and what. Well, we have a map that sits right outside of our enrollment department, and it shows that, and it shows what states, you know, what reservations are still in those states. And that's what I always tell our people. Now, remember that map, you know, it's almost all white, you know. There's just a few black spots in there, and that's us and other reservations that are still in the original territories. So remember not to forget, you know, they won't stop till we're all gone. So as women, how are we going to come together to help our people to understand what we're talking about? If we all want to share or say that we have some type of knowledge from something, even how that lady now, Jenny, Jeannie, I keep hearing different pronunciations of her name, but how is she going to help? She's way out there. How is she going to help to connect with all of us up here? You know, with whatever knowledge she has too. And other women that are listening. But we have to get serious. We can't just keep sharing and talking, you know, and we can go on week after week after week and we haven't formed nothing yet. Well, that's my question as a woman.
Hey, right on, man. I enjoyed it. I was listening. You had Chinupa in silence.
Just to clarify, my name is Jenny. It's short for Virginia. Right. My full name is Virginia.
Oh,
so
Jenny.
It's a nickname of Jenny. Yeah, G-I-N-N-Y. You're right. I can't. I'm just on the phone. This is my first time calling in. We do have plans to try and come out there that way. I have connection with Apache or Inde in Colorado a couple summers ago. Chinupa actually came down here to see us in D.C. He had meetings. That's actually how we met. He was meeting with some Congress people. But what I can do, I've sent some supplies for you all, and I've gotten the word out. Lots of people, and I work in a school, and families there have we've gotten together and shipped some things out. But as far as, you know, physically being there, you know, it's a challenge right now, but it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. I hope to someday meet you all in person and sit with you.
Man, I'm honored by her invitation of sitting with you folks, especially you indigenous women up here of the northern region, where we're from here in South Dakota, Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Nebraska. As time draws closer to our ending part, we got like maybe 8-9 minutes or so, 7 at the latest. I want to share something that will really get our minds back to what really we're talking about. We all have good intellectual communication. I love you all for expressing, man, your hearts, you know, gratitude of what you feel inside. A long time ago, our people had a way of doing things on their own, freely. It never was disposed of. That's the natural understanding of how wealth was, the animals and feathers of our birds and so forth. The reason why I'm using this understanding, just with a brief, you know, edification to explain it, I want to do it this way in an honor of our language still here. And so I'll give you a good interpretation of it with the language, and then I'll reiterate it back into English as best as I can, because our languages were never written. So here's what I'm going to express on behalf of all you women. Le ampetuki ake chanupa gulhamani okanchula timon wahyuk dake solwashtyogna wochijakokte. Mi wiampi. Nataku nahaksi oluspa pikihe niecha sloyapi. Hohe yanke. He woyuk ya tankiki oluspa. Na ampetu wanji wiantrok ya glena ukte na wania kap chimpi. Hohe isyan wopila tanke ewaki. Chohe chunha taku hena iwag lak okte kile. Wa blezit hankike trokata ke walaka banta. Ta homeni isha weird ha woyukja ogna hechus e ya chimpi chawana i chahinkte. Gya hechus e lechta to na hepikile wag laki wichoye et hantaha trokata ke ichpewa. Ho, Toske niecha echano pikteki. We at Hoxa Glena Ptala, Lechus enazimna, Otkanataku was tello happy, Ospechak yapi, Nechetia, Zania ya unk, then oeta, Titaki is Takoza Pakunit hop, is Wakanga. Dukte Yamani Hena echa, which oyogna ewagnaki, neepikte. Nani weampi, ni weampi, nani wakampi. Taku cash hena echa necha yakakapi. Now we chase hena tagni iwaza. Hotsuka echela, we chase, let know you happy. Chaptala, we chase hena tima yuva hunter. Wa blezekile necha echetia. Takomene, we chase, let know walk, you can know we chase. Tahan walk hehe yanke. Hoana yeska wanke. What I said in the language, here's our sister out east. And there's Jenny up north. And there's a few others down south and on the west. And brothers like Jabril and myself and Bryce and many others that, and even Laline, are paying attention to what's going on tonight. Because of this radio station tonight, at our sister's discretion, which I love dearly, Leona took the opportunity to expand her welcome to us. And we got to be greatly appreciated with that understanding that she has done for us. And at the same time, not only did you guys get to introduce yourself and know yourself with the discretion of our sister Leona, Jeannie has come on board. So here's two other sisters looking to you guys for a togetherness to help and work to each other. You see, this is what we talk about. And when you keep using that type of expertise from what you women know how to do, you can also make that commitment to tell your men to continue to serve you in that manner of honor. We don't do that anymore, neither side. And for we men, how many listening audiences of men are out there? Jabril, Laline, Bryce, whoever's listening. Take a look at this hotshuka, meaning this circle. We men need to get our shit together and get back in there and talk about these elements, which we've been trying to tell a lot of you to come out here to the Strongheart Gathering. I haven't had the gatherings in 4 years. The reason for it, I've been taking on responsibilities to help my elders and children here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and elsewhere, not only on the Cheyenne River, but Arapaho country and in Montana. I serve these nations for that purpose. And that's the hard part that many societies don't get back into. And thanks to all of you, all you sisters that are coming back together, if it's going to take you guys to force us men to do the protection and serve you, then goddamn it, do it. I'm honored by it. And all of you sharing your intellectual communication, you might have a different characteristic of an ability not to accept anything. Well, we're going towards the future of the 22nd doorway, okay? So if you women can help us men get back into that circle of life, we can open that door to the second, you know, 22nd century and get in there without regard. And that's how we're going to free ourselves continuously, because many other radio shows out there talk about this good understanding of what they're capable of doing. I disagree. Because if they're not living it, like all of us on this radio show tonight that are still living it, thanks to Leona, thanks to Jeannie and many others that participate, Laline, Bryce, Jabril, we can change this for the better of our future generations that are coming. We still have grandchildren. And we still have younger children that are growing into adulthood. So we need to continue to keep that journey forward in the direction of where freedom is, where that independence lies. Because once our children and grandchildren pick it up, hey, our job is done. And then we can return home to the spirit world where all our ancestors, our moms, our grandparents, we can get back up there and then have that opportunity to look down and see the accomplishments that we have done. And thanks to all of you, even you, Jenny, for what you had said about what you challenged. And I've said this on countless radio shows. People, exercise your rights of independence. If you don't do that, they're going to get taken from you. And that's what's happening in the year 2020. no matter if it was Trump or Biden. They're white. They will always rape paper. No offense to that language of meaning, raping paper. They lie on it. But as long as we create our own mechanisms to free ourselves and hold them accountable, that will be the only way that this man can never move ahead. He needs to take a look at himself. And that's one thing the white race has never done. They say they do, but remember one thing in closing. The white man can talk you to death, and that's what his game is. That's why he was created from what they call in their good book, hell. That's where that man comes from. Whether people get offended by it or not, that is a true devil in human form. And so with that, I will advance you in closing.
We have 3 minutes left. If you'd like to close out with the song.
Yes, for all of you that are there and tuned in, I want to share this song with you guys. And thank you all. Thank you, Bernice, for co-hosting the show with Chinupa, Jenny, Jeannie, little Vanessa, all of you that come on board, Laleen, Jabril, Bryce, everyone that's listening out there, this is our song. Tonka shila yai, waka we chilo yoi. Hey ya, nama dieno, hey hoi. We ya ke, lena waka picha. Hey ya ho chielo, we are ki he wa ka pi cha he ya wa hi e lo ai ya hi ya kon ka she na ya wa ka ya we chi lo yo ai ya he ho kon ka she la ya wa ka we chi lo yo hey ya na wa sie no ai yo hi yo ni ye che ya wa ho chi ye pi he lo yo wa kha we chi lo yo ai we ya ke le na wa kha pi cha kho ka ta kya hai ya ho chi ye lo ai 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 wa kha chi la ai he ya ho chi ye lo ai 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 oi hey hi we hi love you all and good night. Thank you for another awesome show. Thank you, Jeannie, Vanessa, little sister Bernice, Jenny, Jabril, Laleen, all of you for showing up on tonight's show. What will that hunky teacher? And I look forward for next week. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.